iTalk. I know people are familiar with these. I use it quite a bit. I record a lot of my presentations, meetings that I have with people I work with, all sorts of things. I have a whole repository of audio files I'm collecting. Perhaps I should be writing more than just speaking, but at least getting the speaking captured is an interesting exercise. And then actually to go back to the listening to the audio that I've created is very enlightening, you know, as a presenter to listen to what I've said and how I've said it. And sometimes it really sounds awful, and sometimes it sounds much better. And my impression while I'm giving it is so off. I mean, after I give a presentation, I think, oh, that was terrible, and it actually turned out to be okay. Or that was really great, and I listened to it, and it was really awful. So it's quite interesting. So iPods, and it's a little thing called iTalk, and you put it on top of the iPod. Have people used iPods here? A little bit, yeah. And then when you've done your recording, you save it, you plug it into your computer, and you can get it right into iTunes. And I have a whole bunch of stuff in iTunes, so you can see a list of artists there is myself. and a bunch of albums that I've put out, which are primarily presentations from conferences. And basically, this information comes from metadata on the audio file. In iTunes, you get your audio files into iTunes, and you can add the name, artist, an album. You can add comments and categorize it, put in the genre podcast. A lot of interesting things you can do with that. So that's the idea of capture. I want to talk a little bit about syndication. I've been really doing a lot of research with syndication with news sites. I've been reading a lot about how news is being published, the idea of micro content. I've been exploring Google News in particular. I don't know if you know this, but with Google, you can sign up an account if you dare to do so, and you can put together your own Google homepage, which has, and you can really arrange it the way you want. I have my Gmail here. I can move things around in kind of a drag-and-drop format. Pretty amazing. This is all these new technologies called Ajax, which now lets you do things in the web browser that you couldn't do in the past. A lot of things, in web, when you have web applications, often you have to reload the page to make it do anything new, but these new technologies allow you to do stuff without reloading the page. So that delay that's so frustrating whenever you go to a website, you go to a new page, you've got to wait for it to load. You no longer have to do that with these new Ajax technologies. It's drag and drop becomes possible. You can reload portions of the page and it happens much quicker. It's a much more fluid experience. So this is my Google Home. And I've arranged exactly the way I want. There are a bunch of, almost everything in here is actually what's called an RSS feed. Have people familiar with RSS at all? Yeah, a little bit? RSS is just another way of publishing web content. And in Segue, we've incorporated this so you could take any Segue page and you can publish it out as RSS. There's a little link at the bottom of the Segue page. This particular presentation here, you could just grab this link, copy it, and put it into what's called an RSS reader. I'll show you that a little bit later on. But let me talk a little bit about Google News. Google is an aggregation news. It's not clear exactly how they do it, but it's not done with any editors. It's all with these computer algorithms that basically look for popular news stories, and they have ways of ranking them and clustering them around different topics. So there's absolutely no editors involved with Google News. It's all done by the algorithm. And these are the categories that you can get. Some of these are standard categories, but some of these are personalized categories that I made myself. I've personalized this page, and I've added a category on Web 2.0, which describes a lot of these new, sort of the next generation of the web. I have also have custom categories on Apple computers and on iPods. And I've taken this in architecture as well. And I can take it and rearrange any of these things so I can see exactly what I want in the order in which I want to have it. And you can see they're all from different news sources, New York Times, ABC News, Tampa Tribune. And they're basically, it's not clear exactly how it works, but the top news stories, that the stories that are talked about the most on the web, are all aggregated and presented in here in this kind of interface. So this is an example of news that's created through just crawling the web and through these algorithms. Another way of collecting news is through something called DIG, or these community news sites. And this is an interesting new approach. Again, no editors in the site, but the stories that get contributed to the site are by the people who visit the site themselves. And if you're interested in a story and you think it's good, once you've logged in and registered with the website, you can dig a story. And digging essentially is voting for the story. And the more people that vote for any given story, the higher it gets up and eventually will make it to the front page. Google Trends, that's very interesting. I click Dig It and watch 505 go to 506. There are people who spend all their time basically doing this, digging stories. Actually, it's an interesting demographic. There are people who spend all their time digging stories. There's people who spend all their time submitting stories, right? You can dig for a story over here. Basically, as new stories get submitted, you can read them. If you think they're good, you can dig them. A story here is a very simple, basically a link to a website and some comments about that. So a lot of people spend their time posting stories. A lot of people spend their time digging stories. There's also a cloud view. People familiar with tag clouds? This is a view of all the story titles, sort of across all the different categories. If you want to look on stories in a given category, you could limit it to that. And the idea is that the bigger the text, I believe the more digs that story has gotten. Let's see. Yeah, I think it's the more digs the story has gotten. Sorted by newest, I could sort it by most digs, and I think that would get all the largest text would come up to the top. Yeah. The darker and larger the text, the more popular that story is. This is tapping into this new notion of the wisdom of crowds. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that book by James Zarucki, the New Yorker writer, saying that basically if you can get a bunch of people together who are independent individuals with their own local information, and you can aggregate their knowledge, the judgments they'll make will be far more accurate than any given subset of experts in any field. It's a very interesting phenomenon. And I think websites like DIG are tapping into the idea of allowing anyone to submit stories and allowing anyone to vote on those stories. And the idea is that if you do that and it's a democratic and people are independent, the key is really independence, though. If you've got a bunch of people working together, you get what's called information cascades, and people will start thinking, oh, he liked it, so I must like it too. So the key is that people are independent. But if you get that independence and give everyone an equal opportunity to contribute, you can actually get some very interesting stuff. And indeed, I follow this. This is primarily a technology website, but the stories are very interesting. Another approach to news, a brand new site called newsvine.com. This is similar to DIG in that people can submit stories and they can vote on stories. But the difference here with this website, this is a combination of traditional media and this kind of new community news. There's the Wire, which is actually the AP Wire, Associated Press. That comes in through this website. And then there's the Vine. And the Vine are the community of users who then comment on the Wire. Put the Wire and Vine together, you have this kind of organic growth. Or I actually wrote in this. The other thing you can do in this website is you can join the website and you're given your own space to write your own articles or seed the vine. You have seeds and articles, that's right. A seed is simply like you had in DIG. You have a URL that you want to share with other people. So you seed that. You put it on the website with a brief commentary on it, and other people go to that and they think that's an interesting URL. They'll vote on that, and they'll vote it up. Here I've gone ahead and actually written an article, news type opinion, and people can come here and they can read your article and they can comment on it, as this person has done. This wasn't a very successful article. he's wondering why I was writing a review of Newsvine on Newsvine. And I did go on to explain why I was doing that. There were other people that this was a new phenomenon. I was trying to put it in some kind of context of organic news. But, you know, this guy thought that my writing was good and he looked forward to reading some more stuff. But I haven't gone much farther with it. So I've got voted up four votes. I have five comments. People could send me email if they wanted. They could clip my article. With Newsvine, as in Google, I can have my own, I can follow along in these particular tags. So each of these stories has numbered tags. This one's tagged with Technology Newsvine, newsdig/.organic. And you can go ahead and follow any tag. And when you click on a particular tag, all the stories that have been given that tag will come, be aggregated together into one place. So these are all the stories that have been tagged with technology. And you can follow a bunch of tags. These are some of the tags that I've been following. There's one on design. You can go in and see all the stories on design. This is not as much, this is an attempt to go beyond just the technology. Dig and some of the, Slashdot is another one. These early sites were mainly about technology. But Newsvine has much more general news beyond just technology, as you can see from the top categories up there. There's world news. And there are some really interesting writers emerging on this website. For any given category, you'll find a number of featured writers. And it's not clear how they got featured, but probably they've been voted up in the community. They've written articles and people have thought they're good and made comments and voted them up. And they eventually become featured writers. Very interesting way of publishing. I guess, what was the rubric of this talk anyway? I think I wanted to talk about publication, new forms of publication. And this is kind of a variation of a talk I gave at a conference a couple of months ago on organization. And as I was looking at these new websites, this aggregation and syndication, I realized that these are new ways of organizing published material.
You know what's interesting about this is that when I look back at about a year ago, Barbara Janley's writing across the arts and Catherine's discourse site,
mm-hmm.
in their mind as they were creating this and designing this, it was an attempt to move to this, but by using modules in the background of Google kind of trying to get to this.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
This would be the preferred.
So what this adds, so this is in many ways like blogs. What it's adding is different roles. So, I mean, what this has in common with blogging really introduced a really radical new way of publishing, right? People could publish them by themselves on the web, and people could comment on whatever they posted.
But what I like about this, it takes away the self-aggrandizing, this is about me.
Right. And more blogs are becoming group blogs. So the early blogs were purely individuals, and there's still a lot of great individual blogs out there, but now there are more and more group blogs as well. And group blogs are blogs that where a number of different people post to. There's great discussion on all those. What things like Dig and Newsvine add now is the ability for anyone to go in and comment, or you can also chat on this site, but just the simple voting mechanism, the rating mechanism that you can go, and maybe you could comment, but you can just give it a vote. And there's different kinds of voting, much like on Amazon.com, you have the rating system. You can go in and you can rate a book. This is just a simple, I like this, I'm going to vote for it. You dig it, you give it a vote. And if enough people do it from a wide range of backgrounds, you get some very quality stuff that comes up to the top very quickly. Whereas in a blog, it takes a much longer time to cultivate an audience. In some ways, it's a deeper kind of connection you're making. But this, is, on the other hand, is reaching a wider community and putting it in a public place where someone can go, anyone can go and write articles, put it out there for people to see in a kind of a neutral environment, and have their work evaluated.
Now, Alex, I see the stories from the New York Times. If you go to a story from the New York Times, do you see the full story, or do you then have to go through the authentication of the New York Times?
Do you see a New York Times here?
Up on most votes.
Most votes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you probably would have to.
Okay.
Now, let's see. Most votes. Oh, no, let me think about that. No, that's in... That's a story. Where is that going? Okay, so this is what... This is an article that somebody has written. That's interesting. Somebody is commenting on a New York Times article, I think. Yeah, so this is a particular person on the website. Whoops. No, this is her commentary on their article. So she's read the article, she's commented about it, 22 people have voted it up, 3 people have made comments, she's categorized it. So this is somebody's take on the New York Times article. Interesting. Pulse. This is a book that's just been published, and you can buy it, I think it was published just a few weeks ago. You can buy the book, or you can read the book online. This publisher has decided to offer 2 ways. You can subscribe to the book by means of RSS. Now, I guess I haven't talked about RSS yet. I have to get into that. But you receive a chapter of the book every day by RSS. So this is a book as a blog. The book has already been written, and the author is putting up chapters every day, I think twice a day. People can read here, and then people can comment. People can also vote, comment, add tags to Dig or Delicious. I haven't talked about Delicious yet. And so you can get the book this way. You can buy the book. You can browse the book in many different ways. Other than just reading it from chapter to chapter, you could explore it by means of tag clouds. And here's a tag cloud is simply taking all the tags that have been given to different pieces of a publication and putting them together in a way that allows you to see what the most common themes are, the most popular themes coming out. So in this book, you can see ecology and evolution are coming up quite dark. And this is a full tag cloud for the entire book. Most viewed tags will give you a listing of the most popular tags in another way. You can view the book by highly rated posts. So these are the sections of the book that people really thought were well, that they gave high ratings to. Surprised the publisher went for it, but I think it, now this will be over, I think, something like 6 months. So it's a way of getting people into the book and may actually encourage them to buy it in the end. This has been a case where people have published on the web and as a result have actually increased the sales of their print publications or audio. There's a band called Wilco who their label dropped them, and so they just made their music available free online, and as a result they got a major a new label signed them on, and they sold many more CDs. Google News, Dig, Newsvine, Pulse, you can go to the website, you can read them. Or you can grab their RSS feed, you can subscribe to them, and you can read them in what's called an RSS reader. And I basically just copy the URLs. And here is the same work in the RSS format, which is an XML format, like web pages, but just a different format. And I can take that and put it into what's called an RSS reader. These are those same websites we saw. Here we have Google News, Dig, Newsvine, as well as some group blogs, individual blogs, traditional news websites. Here I'm reading just the stories in a very streamlined way without anything else in the website. If I'm interested in the story, I can go through, just get the summary. What you get over in the right there is more or less depending on the website. Some websites will publish the entire story on the right side there. Others will give you a little snippet and you need to go to the website for more. So I often read my news this way, and you notice that as I go through these items, they change their color, indicating that I've read them already. So I can go through and read a few stories and leave and come back and know exactly where I was and pick up where I left off. And if I want to read more about a story, I can just click in and open it up in the web browser, and I can see the full story there.
Alex, yep. That NetNewsWire is
a Mac-only program. I think it's the best one, yeah. For PCs, I would recommend Bloglines, which is actually a web-based news reader, and I'll see if I can pull it up here. And this is actually pretty good. And NetNewsWire, you can synchronize your NetNewsWire with Bloglines. You create an account, I think I'm already in. So any website that you want to follow in an RSS way, you can just grab the RSS link from it. You want to look for feeds. So here, I'll grab the RSS wire and feed, and I want to copy that link location, and then I can go in there, and then you paste the URL in there, subscribe, and there it is there. The great thing about it is you can just have a whole bunch of different websites sort of in one way, categorized the way you want to even reorder things. I'm in here, and I can group them. So I could read news across all of these websites from that folder there. So I get some news items from NetNewsWire, from Google News, or I can go through the individual feeds. And you see it's picked up where I left off, so I know exactly what I've read and what I haven't read. Yeah, Bloglines is web-based, so you can use Bloglines across Macs and PCs. And Segway, you may know, also does this. So this whole presentation here, I grab this feed here, copy link location, and scribe, and there is this presentation here with all the images in the newsreader.
So, because I have been wondering about the RSS.
Yeah, yeah.
Down in the corner of my Segway site, because I've never used RSS before.
Yeah.
So does that mean that, for example, a student who uses Bloglines or whatever, can then paste that into their Bloglines,
exactly,
and when they want to go to the Segway site, instead
they
of
can just
chasing it down,
they can go
and just go in and look at stuff?
Yep.
There.
Yep.
So I try to do that with my Segway site, so I get an error message.
You do? It only works for public sites. If your site is limited to your class, we can't offer an RSS feed because then anybody can see it.
It's sort of like parts of your site are open and parts of your site are closed. It's all
no, that would work. The RSS feeds work on the page level. So any page that's public, you can make available as RSS. And you can also bring in the Segway RSS feeds from elsewhere. I'll show you an example of that. Probably the best example is our educational technology site. Recent post, that's an RSS feed actually of this page that I put in the sidebar from the Chronicle. This is the RSS feed from the Chronicle here. Liberal Education Today, iPods and Education, my website about iPods, RSS feed from that. Yeah, you can put RSS feeds and Segway along in the sidebars or also in the center area as well. Oh, here's an interesting thing from Google. This is a related website thing from Google. You put this in your Segway page or any website you have, and it looks at the content of your website and puts links to related websites.
So kind of like little Google ads that appear in a lot
Exactly. Yeah.
So if I'm looking at Yarn, it tells me.
Yep, like ads. Yeah.
So we would dump that in there the same way we put in the RSS feed.
Yeah. No, actually, it's just the content block. So you just choose a sidebar content, and then you can just paste that code in. Yeah.
I'd love to hear something more about Delicious.
Delicious, okay.
Couple of things and don't really understand it.
Okay, so you're on the web, you are reading some website. All right, so this is very interesting. I'm going to tag this using Delicious. So I've set it up here. You can take this website and I can add some notes about it, and then I can add tags to it. And the way I add my tags, this is my tag cloud. The ones that are darker, I've used more. This is a book on biology, so I'm going to definitely tag it as blogs. And I can give it a bunch of tags and save it, and it takes me back to the website. So anytime I'm on the web and I want to remember something, I just click on the Delicious and tag it and give it a bunch of tags that make sense to me to help me categorize that. So here is my Delicious. These are all my tags. And now here you get a better sense. That's my tag cloud over there. The tags I've used more There's 11 posts I've tagged as community, educational technologies more. These are my current tags of what I just added. So if I want to go back and look at all the stuff that I have tagged as folksonomy, I click on that, and that will show me all the websites that I have tagged as folksonomy, as well as a number of related tags. Things I've tagged as folksonomy, I've also given those related tags.
And every single tag, you can make an RSS feed.
That's right.
I did that on my Segway site. Got a thing for my class, for articles pertaining to my class, are there as I'm coming up on the side.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have like every random thing I have on the list.
Right, yeah.
For my Writing to Heal class, I have a Writing to Heal tag, and anything I want to see,
yeah.
I tag with that, and there it pops up
right on the
front page of my Segway.
Yeah, I've done the same thing for some of my other sites. For iPods, for instance.
Do it for yourself.
For yourself. But then the advantage of... So folksonomy, have you heard of that term? Folksonomy is taxonomies made by folks like you and me. So in addition, I can look at all the tags. So these are my tags, items that I've tagged as folksonomy. I can look at all the items that have been tagged by folksonomy by everyone in the system. Or I could look at the popular ones. And this will show me all the popular tags that have been, even they're popular because 1,930 other people have tagged that particular website as folksonomy. And these are all the related tags to folksonomy, tagging Web 2.0, delicious, and so on. Yeah, so it allows you to keep your own person, it's called social bookmarking. It allows you to keep your bookmark in a multiple categorization scheme rather than having one thing in one place. One thing can be in many places. And this is a really revolutionary way of thinking about organization that I was really getting at in my last presentation. Our computer systems, we have files and folders. It's ridiculous, you know. I've always struggled with what folder should I put this file in. You know, I want to put it in more than one. You know. Well, with tagging, you can do just that. You can tag it in multiple ways and then get access to it in multiple ways. So iPods and education. So over there is my delicious tags on iPods, as well as the popular delicious tags on iPods, the RSS feed, and then just the general tags. Over here I have iPods and Google News. So with the Google News, you can search the Google News for a given keyword, iPod, and find all the websites in the media pertaining to iPod, and you can get that RSS feed and put it in your Segway site or your RSS reader. Segway, I'm not sure if you experimented with this, but it has a categorization. You can add your tags, so there's a post on iTunes U that I put up. I gave it a bunch of different tags. And there's a page type in Segway for categories that will show you all the categories that you, all the tags you've used in your site and how many posts in each one of those. Throughout this site, there's, in addition to text, there's a bunch of audio files I've uploaded. And if you grab the RSS feed for this page and you put an RSS reader, whatever you have as a file for download, well, then you can then download it onto your computer. So you can download this audio file. You can download it from the reader. Or you can take, here I've tagged all these things as podcasts. So I've aggregated them all into one place. These are all the audio files on the website. I can grab this RSS feed here, copy the link location, and I can put it into iTunes. iTunes is an RSS reader too. Did you know that? I paste that in there, and it's now going to download that, all those audio files from the Segway site into iTunes directly. So think about it, and Hector's done this a little bit already. You can just consider recording your class. You know, you could have something like I'm doing here. Class is done, plug it in the computer, it downloads into iTunes, add metadata such as the name of the class, the course number, any other information. Then you can upload it right into a Segway site, and you have the class lectures. It's actually called course casting, prof cast, lecture casting. And it's an interesting thing. It has its pros and cons, right? I mean, a lot of universities are doing this and finding the students aren't going to class. They just think, oh, we'll just get the lecture online afterwards. One thing you can do is you can also delay that, and you can post it maybe towards the end of the semester, perhaps when they're reviewing. Or I've taken a lot of the audio, and because I've often been so incoherent for most of the talk, I'll go through it and I'll edit it, break it down into smaller pieces where I did explain something well, and then attach that to text.
Do you know what I did? Rather than doing it before the class, I did it after the class. Posted,
yeah. So,
and I did it in two methods. One was, like you said, small snippets. If I was talking about a specific thing, and sometimes you get involved in all sorts of conversations in the class, I edited that out, and just like, so I put it by theme. Then I did the whole presentation, so I made the, whatever I was doing as a presentation, I made it into a movie. So they just have the whole thing, but I did it afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And I did, and I would say 15% of a class of, let's say, 18 kids went back to it.
Interesting.
How do you know?
I asked.
Oh,
you asked them,
There's not some magic technological
And I did one for Journal of the Middle Lane with a class of 75 students. And one kid saw me with the iPod in my hand. And that kid emailed me without anything being said. He said, I saw you with an iPod. Does that mean you're going to put the lecture up online? Right? But he had 75 kids. So this, for his class, it worked. That they needed to go back to that particular lecture.
Interesting, yeah.
But it is a lot of work.
This is one presentation I give to language school directors on iPods. And so I record the whole thing, but then I broke it down into these categories. And the talk I gave was roughly along these categories. I took the audio files, and so each section of the site has an audio file for just that section. So here you get some text, you get an image, you get some text, and you get an audio file that goes with it. Is another way of doing it. This is a tool I've been playing with here for Segue. This is another way of looking at Segue. This is a tag cloud from Segue. Now, actually, these are all the category tags because we really only introduced categorization in the last, I think, in December. Most of the tags are mine. All right, but this gives you an overview of Segue. 2,000 sites in Segue, 62,000 content posts, 24,000 discussion posts, and 192 tags. Scrolling down here, you can see the recently edited site. You can see I was working on this presentation today, 115. Peter Nelson, recent discussion posts. This is across all of Segue. It's a kind of interesting view into Segue that people come to. For any given person, you can click on their name, and you can see all their sites, all their recent edits, all their tags. So this is me. I have 34 sites, 709 content posts. These are my sites here on the left, my recently edited sites, my recent discussions, and all the tags that I've used. And you can, again, this actually works in a couple of different ways. The darker color means more posts have been made to it. The larger the size of the text, the more diverse the tag is. The tag is used across more sites, I believe. Boy, I don't even remember anymore. So if I click here on Segue then has been used as a tag for 9 posts on 2 sites. And these are some tags that are related to Segue.
RSS.
Another tag, 4 posts on 2 sites. Related categories are Apple Context Instructions, Podcasting,
iPod. Because there aren't too many tags in Segue right now, I've also taken the sections.
All the section titles across all of Segue. The darker ones are the ones that are used more. The lighter ones are used less.
This is arranged alphabetically. Gives you a kind of an overview about how people have organized content on Segue. Sorted by most widely distributed and sorted alphabetically, but we can go ahead and sort it by most frequently used tags.
No, introduction is very popular. As is assignments and links and images. Section 1, Section 2, those are the defaults in some of the templates.
But gives you an interesting overview. And again, you can do this for everybody, or you can do it for a particular person. I could look up myself here, and I could take a look at my section.
And these are my most popular sections. Section titles that
have been most popular. And for anyone, if you click over, I've used building institutional repositories, 13 posts in that section on one site. We'd like to introduce this at some point, perhaps in the summer or in the fall. And the idea would be that you can continue to go to your Segway homepage, but I just found that this, particularly as you get a lot of websites, the Segway homepage is just not very well organized, and it's really hard to find things. So having, I think, a view like this would be much more handy, where you can quickly see what you've done recently. These are ordered by the sites I've most recently edited. Sites, all my sites recently edited posts and all my discussions. Gives me a quick overview. This is known as a dashboard view. What I've done here is combine the dashboard in a cloud, tag cloud view. The dashboard gives you a view into recent activity across sites and content blocks and discussions. And then the tag cloud gives you an overview. So it's kind of a way to get a grasp of what you're doing from different levels, which I think is much easier to see than this kind of thing. I mean, it probably complements it. This has its advantages as well, but it's really hard to find anything in this kind of view.
Yeah, I've noticed mine started, you know, after 4 years of
yeah.
And I'm starting to get slightly unwieldy.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how to make this a little better. Probably moving to something like this.
Yeah.
I think, don't you think it would help?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I don't often use, you know, I do like to be able to go back to my old course from 2003 or 2004,
yeah.
But I don't want to do it all the time.
Yeah. I would probably just hide those old courses. Have an option so that you could hide them.
Yeah.
Because that list gets really long, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving to something like this, I think, would just make it a lot more workable for people.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you.